Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Health Matters, a program for those who are sick and in need of a physician, of body and soul. Welcome back to the second series of Health Matters, with new episodes on issues chosen by you. In this show, we look at the psychological, social, and spiritual implications that illnesses have on patient and family. In the first half, we speak to Dr. Andrew Nicholson about the practical and more physical implications. In the second half, Pastor Lynn Hansen considers the spiritual struggles that chronic and terminal patients face. But both doctor and pastor hope to do more than that. They also want to give guidance and comfort to the weary and burdened soul and to remind them that God is with them and for them, no matter what comes their way. Opening up this new series, our topic today is Down syndrome. We welcome back Dr. Andrew, with whom we will be exploring the medical aspects of this condition. Dr. Andrew, what is Down syndrome?
Down syndrome is a fairly common genetic disorder characterized by learning difficulty, strange facial features, and also other abnormalities within the body. The old-fashioned and somewhat pejorative term in this country has been Mongol. In fact, they do have faces that are redolent of the Mongol race when looked at, but it is no longer acceptable to call anybody a Mongol who has this. It's actually named after a chap called John Langdon Down, an English physician. It's actually relatively common. It's about 1 in 1,000 people born will actually have this. The underlying genetic defect is trisomy 21, and this occurs really in people who are born to mothers who are getting old. The risk is roughly 1 in 300 at 35, 1 in 100 at 40, or 1 in 30 at 45. This does mean that if you have the misfortune to be born to a mother who's very old, you are at increased risk of developing, of actually having Down syndrome. But even then, you still have 29 in 30 chances at the age of 45 of not having this.
So that is the downside of this culture of waiting till much later to have children.
Yes, your selfishness can mean that you are given a Down syndrome child to bring up. However, this is part of nature that, in fact, our best eggs are those that are released somewhere between 20 and 30, and that from 30 onwards, the quality gradually gets worse. There are tests available in this country, most specifically nuchal scans and blood tests. These are sort of a variety of ultrasound and blood tests to see whether the lady who is pregnant and around 15 weeks to 18 weeks pregnant is actually carrying a child that may have this.
Is it preventable? And if found to be carrying a baby with Down syndrome, what are the options?
Essentially, what we would tend to do is we would want to prove it absolutely that the child has Down syndrome, and it would involve actually taking a piece of the amnion or chorion from the pregnancy to see whether indeed the child within the womb actually has Down syndrome. Now, this is not without danger, and really one is not going to offer this option to a patient who feels that they are not prepared to undergo the consequences of finding that you have a Down syndrome, which is actually termination of that pregnancy. The feeling is now that it is something you have to offer to patients, that they ought to have the pregnancy terminated if they have Down syndrome baby that they don't wish to continue with. One of the great sadnesses is that many Down syndrome children are aborted. And yet, when you meet Down syndrome children and adults, they're the most sunny, happy people you've ever come across. They virtually have no nasty part of their personality at all. And in fact, they spend their life giving joy to people rather than actually taking it from them. However, it is important that we offer patients what they want. And if indeed they wish to terminate the pregnancy, we should offer them the ability to do so.
Can such a potential condition be detected before conception?
No, it can't be detected before conception. Although you can assess your risks, there is a very small number of Down syndrome children are born in families. And of course, your family will know about that. But these are very rare. The vast majority, 95, 96%, occur through this trisomy 21.
Doctor, how many patients have you had that chose to terminate their pregnancy? And how difficult was it to deal with?
Termination of pregnancy for a Christian GP is quite difficult. We don't have the right to say to the patient in this country, I don't believe in termination and therefore you shan't have a termination. I'm only allowed to say to the patient, I don't believe in termination, you must go and see another doctor who will allow it to happen. I see that as just being mealy-mouthed, so I essentially, my personal view is to accept that this decision is not mine. My decision is to inform the patient of what their options are and to enable those options to occur. It is difficult sometimes dealing with termination of pregnancy, and sometimes I have to go and have a 10 minutes out after seeing somebody because I feel so upset about their decisions, but it is their decision, not mine. There is actually one patient who did not terminate their Down syndrome child, and I've known her for quite some time, and the very first years of managing the child were very difficult because Down's children don't develop very quickly and are exhausting to look after because you have to persuade them to eat. Quite often they have other physical problems, such as genetic problems, including very enlarged tongues so they can't suck properly. And also sometimes they have problems within their blood. However, this child has given the mother a great deal of love, and she now feels that her life is made by this, not worse because of it.
Doctor, what are the needs to know for a couple who are told they are expecting a baby with Down syndrome? And you mentioned a process of bereavement. Can you expand on that?
When a couple get pregnant, they have ideas and plans and all sorts of things in their mind as to what's going to happen for their child, ranging from talking about their weaning them to their first date, all sorts of things in the future. I think when you have a patient, we have a couple who have been told this information, this news, they need to sit and think and go through the stages of bereavement because they need to mourn for the passage of their ideal child and come to accept and realise their child will be as the child is born, that they will need to love and manage this new child. So often people will go through the stages which are disbelief, anger, angry at God, why on earth have you done this to me? Denial, you know, it's not really me. You've obviously got it wrong and there's been some mistake with the tests. And of course these tests are done very, very assiduously. Quite often there's some bargaining that, you know, perhaps this is not as it happened and you've got it wrong and can we just try again? And finally, people have got to go through the period of depression and being sad about saying goodbye to their ideal child and come to accept that the child they're going to have is going to be theirs and they need to love it and cherish it for all its faults. It's actually just a distorted and enlarged version of what we all go through when we actually are given the child we actually have rather than the child we want. But we love them nevertheless.
How can such a child participate in society?
When you look at these children, they quite often have a shortened lifespan. They're at risk of quite a few diseases, such as leukemia, that can hit them. And they tend not to live beyond about 50 or 60. But of course, these children, when they become 50 or 60, they still have a childlike aspect to them. And their mothers or fathers have perhaps actually died by then, and they need to go into some sort of care. And quite often, this is quite difficult to manage, especially if they've been cared for very carefully and very lovingly by their parents at home. To adapt to some sort of caring home is quite difficult. My advice to patients, to relatives, is to, once the Down syndrome child becomes an adult, that they're encouraged to have an adult life themselves, which involves going to some sort of home, because there they can flourish and meet other people of their own like.
Do people with Down syndrome have their rights limited in any way, say, in regards to sexual intercourse?
The answer legally is no. The Mental Health Act essentially says that unless you are at serious risk to yourself or others, your life is yours to lead. However, you can quite see that when all those hormones hit the adolescent Down syndrome adult, that they have a wish to use the equipment that God has given them. And unfortunately, this sometimes can lead to unfortunate, unwanted pregnancies. It's important that we, in no patronising way, try to help these Down syndrome adults to cope with this aspect of their lives and to try and control it in their best interest, but not be patronising.
Thank you, Doctor. We'll go to our break now. But stay with us when we come back with Pastor Lynn Hansen, who will speak to us of his experiences in the spiritual care of people and families affected by Down syndrome. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a centre of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the Theological College of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
We are back with Health Matters, and now Pastor Lynn Hansen speaks to us about the spiritual care of people affected by Down syndrome. Welcome back, Pastor. What is your experience in the pastoral care of those affected by Down syndrome?
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Thanks to all of you for listening in. Let us begin with prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, be a source of strength and hope for all children. When they stray, protect them from all danger and grant your abiding presence. Guide them by your word into paths of wisdom and righteousness. Send your holy angels to watch over them, that the evil foe will have no power over them. This we pray through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Often Jesus used children as examples in his teaching. Jesus loves children. Jesus encourages us to live our spiritual lives as little children. Listen to these words as recorded by St. Mark in chapter 10, verse 15 of his gospel. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Today the topic for our consideration is Down syndrome. A very good friend of mine, Elmer, who was an elder in a church I once served, told me God blessed him with a unique experience teaching two children who had Down syndrome. I asked Elmer to write about this particular experience in his life. Here is what Elmer wrote. "Hello, my name is Elmer, and I have a short story to share about Down syndrome. In my lifetime, I have known, worked with, and even taught people with Down syndrome. One experience that sticks out in my mind was teaching a brother and sister who had Down syndrome. I taught them the faith of the church. It was a challenge that I was afraid of at first, but agreed to do it. When we first started meeting, I found that Mike and Sarah had an unbelievable trust. They wanted to learn and be part of the group. As we worked together on the basics, I began to realize that what I considered important wasn't what was needed. To teach them, I had to go back to the basics myself. What I took for granted and came from memory was what they needed to learn. We all learn and remember certain things, and it was the same with Mike and Sarah. Our weekly classes revolved around review and the addition of a new point each week. It amazed me how much they wanted to learn and took into their hearts what I taught them. As time went on, I began to have a new understanding of Jesus' words in our text. The text from Mark 10:15. "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." How is each of us like Mike and Sarah? They have a disability that challenges them. You and I, even though we may not agree, are confronted each day with a similar disability. Mike and Sarah had an advantage on us. They had an undying trust and desire to learn and be taught. They soaked it in and asked for more. Those children of God didn't ask why, who says, or anything like that. Mike and Sarah sat in class, listened, and learned. They always wanted to hear more and were sad when each class came to an end. Week after week, we met together and talked and reviewed. Every week, they became more certain of their faith until the time came for them to express that faith in their own words to the rest of the church. These words were not words of an orator, but a proclamation of a simple faith of a child of God. Each and every one of us is the same. We need faith like a little child. We should put our trust in Jesus and Him alone for everything. Believe in Jesus and trust Him as Mike and Sarah did. They trusted that God's word would not mislead them nor hurt them. Rely on Christ as our children and grandchildren relied on us to protect them and guard them from all harm. May we teach them out of love and lead them in the way they should go. We should take time to talk to our children, grandchildren, and those around us about what the Lord did for each of us. All of us are like children who went astray. Take heart and listen to God's word. God is the author of all things. Each of us should take to heart the words of Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he was old, he will not depart from it. Believe in the Lord for all things. Live each day of your life holding on to the one true faith given to us by God Himself. Believe in Jesus' words as recorded in John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, I'd like to thank Elmer for sharing his experience with us. Yes, Jesus is the only way to the Father in heaven. God's Word, the Holy Bible, is God speaking to us. We are to use it in training our children, teaching them about what God did for us through Christ Jesus. Let us take time again for prayer. Heavenly Father, you knit us together in our mother's wombs. Despite what some may think and say, every child is a gift from you. Bless and help parents to love and care for their children, to cherish them above all others. Grant an extra measure of your love to those who care for children afflicted with various maladies. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. Bring them to faith. Support and sustain that faith all the days of their lives upon this earth. Keep your holy angels around them to protect them from the evil one. This we pray in the name above all names, the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus. Amen. This week I would encourage you to read the book of Mark. Read for yourself the historical account of Jesus' love for all people. This is Chaplain Lynn Hansen saying so long for now.
That was Surgical Chaplain Pastor Lynn Hansen speaking to us from St. Paul, Minnesota. Thank you, Pastor. We'll come back with you and Dr. Nicholson at the same time next week. Please send your comments, questions, and suggestions on our show to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. We will do our best to reply to every message. The podcast of this show is available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. You will find us under Program. When you're there, take a look at our other shows and stay tuned. Goodbye for now, and God's blessings to you.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Check our program times online at lutheranradio.co.uk and stay tuned. All of our programs are broadcast on Greenwich Mean Time. Look up our website for the times in your region.